I did read your column in today's Tribune Review just after it went live on at midnight. And the one thing that struck me at triblive.com in reading your column was the point that you hammered home about Andrew. And to go back to it, your column was about Andrew McCutchen being left off the All-Star Game roster. You really hammered home this WAR rating, WAR, to maybe the, I don't know, the not real deep baseball fan or somebody who isn't into that. Explain what that is and the two people whose WAR, the only two people whose WAR is better than Andrew McCutchen's in the National
League. I thought you were about to say the only two people who understand WAR. It's actually, the best way to explain WAR is to take every baseball statistic that you know, basically write it down on a piece of paper, crumple it up into a ball, and that's it. It's a whole lot of statistics that go into determining how many wins a player will bring a team over the course of a 162-game season above your standard replacement player. So it takes into account offense, defense, base running, run production, on-base percentage, all kinds of variables. And Andrew McCutchen, per that metric, is the third best position player in all of baseball. And you can guess who number one is. He used to play here. That was Jose Bautista. And number two is Jose Reyes, who's having a tremendous year for the otherwise not tremendous Mets.
Okay, so you talk about this WAR rating, and you talk about, and I'll take this from your column, we're talking to Dejan Kovacevic here on the Rivertown Hotline on 93.7 The Fan. You used words mystifying, the decision was lousy, and you said that people yesterday in the clubhouse in Washington, D.C. were fuming. Now, that's one thing sort of to live in a vacuum and see that from a Pittsburgh perspective. Did it open your eyes a little bit more to see the national people talk about that, Dejan?
You know what? It didn't, Colin. And the reason for that is, if you go back to spring training, you know, and I happened to have in my car on the drive down to Washington a copy of the USA Today Sports Weekly with McCutchen smiling on the cover. That's this week. If you go back to spring training, there were all kinds of national publications that were forecasting Andrew McCutchen as the breakout player for the coming year in the National League, not for the Pirates, for the league. So there were a lot of people who were paying attention to what he had done. That said, we're talking about, in this particular case, writers and the media, and that's not who makes these selections. Bruce Bochy is really the primary guy making these picks, along with the players who fill out the ballots for the rest. But I can tell you, from having done clubhouse surveys for years in baseball, that if you think that players are sitting around crunching statistics or doing deep dive analyses when they make these picks, they're not. Chipper Jones makes a team like this for a reason. Chipper Jones makes a team like this because the players hear third base, they think Chipper. Actually, I don't have a problem with the Chipper pick. I'm just to throw that aside here. It's an All-Star game. Stars should be in it, partly based on reputation. But there's not a ton of thought that goes into it. Bruce Bochy is really the disappointment in this equation. I know the Giants only see the Pirates a handful of times every year, six games. It's still really not an excuse to ignore somebody who's been that valuable at a center field position. People around the game know who Andrew McCutchen is. Bruce Bochy knows who Andrew McCutchen is. Bruce Bochy had to have known that Carlos Beltran was not having anywhere near the type of season, and Carlos Beltran is not Chipper Jones to make it in on reputation alone. Carlos Beltran didn't have much of a year last year. He hasn't done much of anything, really, since that World Series for the Astros. He hasn't been a great player for the New York Mets by any stretch of the imagination. So that's the part of it that gets me more than anything. It's on Bochy, and if you listen to the way Clint Hurdle handled it this morning when he went at the topic again, he tried to spread the blame a little bit. He talked about MLB not having McCutchen on that fan ballot, the thing that's still running this week,
right,
where you have five players. You know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
He went somewhat on the players. He said the players whiffed too, meaning the players who voted for this. He doesn't want to bury Bruce Bochy. But, man, it had to have been tempting because this is on him.
Well, let me ask you this then. If you look at how it went down then, if you want, everybody's been able to figure out what the problem is, and that's Andrew McCutchen is one of the best players, and he's not on the All-Star team. How do we rectify picking the All-Star team moving forward, Dayon?
I don't know. You know, the best suggestion that I got from a reader today was that you let the general managers pick the rest of the team because they, much more than the managers, are in tune with the evaluations.
They don't want to do 5 minutes more work than they have to. Do they really on something like this?
You know what? I would think that if you came up with, as opposed to saying that all 16 National League general managers are in on it, that's kind of weird. And, yeah, you're asking them to do a poll or whatever. But I think if you went on a rotating base, I'm completely making this up, by the way. Don't anybody think that this is in the works. If you went on a rotating basis and picked a panel of three general managers in each league and made it something of an honor, okay, you've got the responsibility. If you're someone like, let's say, Neil Huntington with the Pirates, who's, you know, fairly new to the GM game, this is his fourth year, that would have to be considered an honor. Neil Huntington is working with two other GMs in the National League, and they are the ones who fill out the roster based on their own evaluations, on their own first-hand impressions. They can get input from their coach. They can get input from wherever they want, which is part of a GM's job, actually. I'd trust them to make those calls. I really would. I'd like to, and, you know, I still have some semblance of it that the players vote, because that is how you make sure that players like a Chipper Jones, Derek Jeter, I know Derek Jeter got voted in by the fans, but players like that who are legitimate stars, I like to see them in an All-Star game. I wanted to see Cal Ripken in the All-Star game right up till the end. I like that. But
no,
you do have to have the best players in there as well, the best performers.
Moving off the All-Star point a little bit, we're talking to Dayon Kovacevic here on the Rivertown Hotline on 93.7 The Fan. A little bit off of the All-Star point, but not totally. For my money, the MVP of this team, because he didn't, again, know his role on this team until he was thrown into it, was Jeff Karstens. Can you speak maybe a little bit to the job he's done, particularly because there are very few men, I don't know how to say this right, Dayon, but there are very few men who can handle not knowing what their job is, because all major league pitchers are control freaks from the time in which they want to go out and warm up, from what they eat before games. This guy is so loosey-goosey, but the job that he's been able to do in undertaking the job, how valuable has he been this year to this team?
Karst is a personal favorite, as you know, Colin. He's a funny guy. He's glib. He kind of talks like this, so you don't know what necessarily you're going to get from him in a conversation. And I love his attitude. I like your loosey-goosey term. He is a guy that says, look, you want me to, you know, and this is going to the old Karstens, the pre-Cy Young Karstens, if you will. He would just take the ball. You want three innings from him, you want four in a mop-up situation, that's fine. If you wanted two-thirds of an inning with the bases loaded, he was all right with that, didn't complain. But I can tell you that over the past few weeks, that Karstens has changed, and not in a bad way. He is a confident guy. He knows he's a starter now. He would not relinquish that role now without a fight. When you go out there and have the kind of success that he's had, for your listeners who don't know or haven't realized this, Jeff Karstens is a 2.65 ERA. That's 11th best in the majors among all starters. And I can list for you a potential group of Hall of Famers that's below him in ERA right now, not the least of whom are CeCe Sabathia, Tim Lincecum, Cliff Lee. These are guys being paid $20 million a year. Karstens is out pitching them. He believes, and rightly so, that he should remain a starter and be a starter for the rest of his career, and that he can be a good one. There's things that he's worked on with Ray Searidge. There's things that he's found out about himself. There's things that he's done to make himself stronger physically, to eliminate one of the many knocks that management had levied against him, and that's that he can't go deep into games. And now you're watching him go 80 pitches and then 90 pitches, and now it's 100 pitches, and he's pitching into the seventh, eighth inning. He's not laboring at all. This is a guy who can be a legitimate part of this team's future, and I think that's to his credit and to the Pirates' credit.
What happens when Tabata gets healthy, and what happens when Ronnie gets healthy again?
Now, this is where it gets fun. I thought you were going to ask what happens when Ohlendorf gets healthy. Ohlendorf goes to the bullpen. That's aside. If you bring back, let's say, Jose Tabata, Ronnie Cedeno, and Pedro Alvarez, because Alvarez just today got moved up to AAA in his rehab, so he's probably, I can't imagine that he wouldn't be back here after the All-Star break.
Right.
It wouldn't be fair to all of a sudden throw Pedro Alvarez over at first base. Man, it's got to be tempting to do that. You know, I mean, it'd be unfair to him to try to teach him that position in midstream. But when you look at the team that the Pirates have around the field, okay, and I would have Tabata in left because of the ground at PNC Park, Andrew McCutchen obviously in center. Alex Presley is not coming out of that lineup for me. He's in right field. From there, you have Cedeno, Chase Darnot, Neil Walker, Garrett Jones at first base, sit over bay down. But if you move Pedro Alvarez across the diamond, and again, there's been no discussion about this that I'm aware of within the Pirates. Again, this is just me talking. If Alvarez is over there at first base and you find that Chase Darnot can be a viable third baseman in some form, now all of a sudden you're looking at a really athletic lineup. Look at the speed that's in the outfield.
Oh, I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you at all.
With Tabata, McCutchen, and Presley out there.
You have three guys who could play center field.
Oh, yeah, which also really helps, you know, manager over the course of a year, too. They actually, you have all three of them can play any of the three fields.
Agreed.
Yeah, you can, and Xavier Paul is a guy that's off the bench, also very athletic. And one of the many shortcomings that we've seen from the Pirates over the years, meaning over the 18 years losing streak, is that they have not been good running teams other than Tony Womack in the late 90s and a couple other exceptions. Okay, speed is a nice thing for a baseball team to have, and it usually doesn't cost all that much. All Pirates teams, I think, going into the future should be built to some extent on speed. I don't think you're ever going to see the Pirates build up this huge bounty of home run hitters. I don't think that that's going to be in the future here. It's not going to be something that's going to fit within their budget. But if they can build the kind of team that does the kind of things that we've been seeing, and it's a really short sample, I understand that, but from Alex Presley, some of the stuff that Chase Darnot, which has been a big surprise to me, has done near the top of the lineup, that's an exciting team. That's a team that you can start seeing producing runs on a consistent basis. You know what they say in football, that speed never goes into a slump, and that's true in baseball, too. You're seeing these guys get around the bases. You're seeing them force some throwing errors. There's been a lot of that, actually, in the past week or so. That's an interesting lineup for me, but in order to do that, Alvarez has to go over to first.